Welcome to the Hockey Strength Podcast, the official podcast of the world's best resource for hockey strength and conditioning information. HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 51 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. My name is Brian Sippets. This is, of course, the official podcast of HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com. We are the world's greatest resource for off-ice training for hockey players. Right now we've got over 900 articles, videos, webinars, programs, and podcasts all dedicated to the training of hockey players. Today we have a special guest, Stephen McGregor, who is the director of the Sport Performance Tech Lab at Eastern Michigan University. He's also a Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic presenter for us this year. That's coming up on April 22nd, 2017. I did want to remind you guys, currently as we release this podcast, it is March 23rd. At the end of March, the end of this month, is the end of the early bird discount. So make sure if you're coming, make sure you save yourself some money and check out GreatLakesHockeyStrength.com. That's where you can register for the event, get all the other information, hotels, lineup, presentations, all those kinds of things. So you're going to get all that information at GreatLakesHockeyStrength.com. And remember, the early bird discount does end at the end of March here. So get signed up, let us know you're coming, and we're looking forward to seeing you. All right, we've got a lot of information in this episode, so we're going to go ahead and get right to it. Today we are joined on Skype by Dr. Steve McGregor at Eastern Michigan University. All right, guys, thanks so much for joining us on this 51st episode of the Hockey Strength Podcast. I'm excited today to jump on with another Great Lakes Clinic presenter, Stephen McGregor. Steve has presented with us before. He's a PhD, and he's the director of the Applied Physiology Program at Eastern Michigan University. He's also the director of the newly formed Sports Performance Tech Lab. So right along that leading edge of the tech movement, Dr. McGregor's research and interest in hockey is particularly interesting to us. And so, Dr. McGregor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Brian. Wow, and the 51st episode. Wow, congratulations.
You know, it sounds so cool, like 51, and then you listen to other podcasts, and it's like episode 403, episode 252, but, you know, smaller niche equals smaller numbers, I guess, so, but I feel like we're doing all right.
Yeah, no, that's good.
So this will be your second time presenting at the Great Lakes Clinic. We had you in a couple years ago, and you were doing similar work, but maybe in a little bit different capacity. Now you're doing work with the under 17 and under 18 national teams, which is kind of a big stage to gather all this data. You're also working with the women's world team, the world championship team, and getting a lot of information from them. So let's start with partially. I want to talk a little bit about your presentation last time, and I feel like you were looking to quantify on ice work. On-ice effort, and you know, it seemed like at that point, even at that point, you knew it was a little bit of a black box, and maybe things needed to be refined a little bit. But tell us about sort of your experience working at Adrian College the first time around, and how that's helped you as you stepped into working with the national team.
Sure. So yeah, when we presented last time, it was specifically with regard to the Adrian College project we did. 2 years, actually, I think it's 3 years now, 3 years ago now that we actually did the project. And the idea there was, and again, I go back to when I talk to people now, and that, you know, technology, quote unquote, technology and performance is really kind of at the forefront, and a lot of people are talking about it now. But I've been doing work in this area for more than 20 years in different aspects and in different capacities. And so we were taking things that we had learned in other areas and trying to apply it to hockey. So the things I knew about hockey, just as my background as an exercise physiologist and somebody that's interested in sport and play, you know, in quotations. And so I wanted to kind of demonstrate, first of all, the Adrian College project was a way to demonstrate the things that I kind of already knew. And it was a proof of concept project. It was a relatively small scale, it was 8 players for the team. using Zephyr sensors to collect the on-ice accelerations, heart rates, and ventilations. And the idea was to kind of get to a way to model their performance and model the training loads and predict when they would do well and when they might not do as well to help the coaches kind of plan things accordingly. So it was kind of a proof of concept project. You know, eight, it sounds like a small number, but when you're talking about this type of data, it's enormous amount of data. It is mind-boggling how much information you get. It really is. And that's the problem I run into now when you talk to people is a lot of people that are now, you know, like at the time when I presented that, not many people were really familiar with the concepts of Zephyr sensors or Catapult sensors or the various performance monitor sensors that are kind of on the market now and are being used extensively. They're being implemented everywhere. And one of the problems is, you know, people want information, but they feel like the analogy I use, they want to drink a water and they feel like you're feeding them with a fire hose. You know, there's so much you can throw at them. And if they don't have a background in particular, it's just overwhelming. So the idea was to kind of establish some principles based on empirical data and say, okay, yeah, this is what a game looks like. This is what a practice looks like to people that may not be familiar with the things that I'm familiar with. Because you got to have a common, you know, kind of language to discuss these concepts. And that was kind of the idea there, is that we wanted to establish a kind of a foundation, demonstrate some principles on a relatively small scale, and then we kind of expanded it now with the national team programs we're working with and doing the same things we did in the Adrian College project, but then expanding it. We're doing all the members of the U-17s and U-18s, so going from 8 to now 40-plus players, and that is just an unbelievable amount of data. We did work with the women's team during their selection camp back in December. So a week camp, the issue there is they don't have a resident team, so it makes it more challenging to get the data from them. And we're also working with some youth teams as well to establish kind of how the things that we do at the elite level translate to the grassroots level and in youth. And it's part of a big project to understand both performance and safety in hockey. So the devices we're using to measure performance can also measure impacts. So we can quantify how many impacts players are being exposed to at the pre-checking age groups and at the post-checking age groups. And then players at the elite level, what kind of impacts are being exposed to in games. And so the project is very large in scope. It's got a safety arm. It's got a performance arm. And we're also collecting off-ice data as well as on-ice data. And in the case of the Adrian project, we only did on-ice data. So anyway, that's a kind of a lengthy response to kind of give you an idea where we are now.
We'd expect nothing less from you than a lengthy response. Okay.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, no, you should. You should. You know your craft. It's good. That's why we like you doing these things. Cool. So there's a lot going on here. You're obviously gathering a ton of data, and I think you and I were talking the other day, and I think the biggest value here is, at least for us in this HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com capacity, is you're learning what games look like. And so, you know, then you're able to craft practices, or the coaches are able to craft practices to look like games or certain parts of practices or whatever. That's another debate that we probably don't need to get into, like how specific should training be. But I think the biggest value is now we're learning what off-ice training should look like, or what off-ice training looks like game training. And I think that's really useful for us. What have you found? You know, have you looked at off-ice at all yet? Have you found what off-ice events are most like on-ice events, or you know, shifts or anything like that?
Yeah, well, there's you know, some of it is almost not necessarily, you don't need quote unquote data to kind of know. If you watch, you know, if you track shift lengths in games, you kind of know the nature of what the efforts, the work to rest ratio should look like for games, or ideally what you'd want them to look like. One of the arguments is when you look at the data, often things don't look the way you'd like them to look. You know, I've had this discussion with coaches on a number of occasions, like, this is what the shift lengths look like, and I'm assuming this is not what you wanted. And the coaches will go, well, I'm pretty sure they wasn't. I go, well, I'm pretty sure it is because I have the data. You know, and sometimes perception doesn't exactly match reality. So we probably shoot for a 30-second shift or 40-second shift, and we end up getting a 50, 60, or maybe even 70-second time on the ice, or sometimes a minute and 20, 120-second, two-minute time on the ice because of a stoppage of play and that type of thing. So a lot of the value in it is that we can quantify exactly what people are doing and identify, well, how do we structure these things tactically as a coach? But also, these are the demands of the event that require a certain training approach. And so that's one thing. That, okay, yeah, we know it's 30 seconds on or 40 seconds off and a couple minutes off. That's kind of the nature of the efforts in a game setting. At the same time, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, which is, you know, you're not skating in a straight line for very long. You know, like, you may be on the ice for 30 seconds, but that 30 seconds is quite chaotic. There's an off and an on and off and an on, and the ons never last more than a couple seconds. The offs never typically last more than a couple seconds. So the nature of the efforts are quite variable. And as smart strength and conditioning coaches for hockey know, you kind of need to train everything for hockey to be able to be an effective hockey player. You know, you need to be able to skate fast in a straight line, but that's a very limited skill set to be successful as a hockey player, because you're never skating in a straight line for very long. You know, so agility and changes in direction, that type of thing. So knowing the nature of the on-ice efforts and the details of those on-ice efforts with great certainty is valuable to structure off-ice activities. Now, the other thing, too, is the nature of those efforts. You know, so the magnitudes of accelerations. We're measuring primarily accelerations. We're using accelerometers or the devices, and we're measuring accelerations. And so the nature of those accelerations on ice and what the individual is doing in detail from an acceleration standpoint, and how can you mimic that off ice, or how can you enhance that off ice? And that's one of the tricks, is that because, you know, as anybody that skates knows, skating is different than running, even though you use the same, you know, movement patterns a lot of times, and the same muscle groups. They're recruited in a slightly different way, and so finding a way to fine tune the accelerations the body's going through in an off ice thing to specifically mimic on ice patterns or not, to do things that, because the flip side of that is, or the other way to look at it is, on ice patterns, you may not see particular patterns that you see off ice, and that may be a particular aspect of fitness that's lacking. You know, if you're only doing the on ice activity, you're lacking the kind of the general fitness that would come from a training modality off the ice, which again I think is another debate to have. But so those are some things. Knowing the exact aspect of the acceleration patterns on the ice is invaluable to kind of structure things the way the strength and conditioning coach wants to. If they want to mimic a thing on ice, or if they want to enhance the capacity they're not seeing to the on-ice things. We can see that. You know, we can look at off-ice activities. We know particular activities have a certain pattern off-ice that's different than an on-ice pattern, and vice versa.
Cool. Yeah, again, there's this, we could go down a rabbit hole with this in terms of, you know, how specific does your training need to be, but I think for the intro to your presentation, I don't think we need to go down that hole. But so real quick, give us the outline. You know, the bullet point outline of what we're going to be looking at in your presentation for the Great Lakes Clinic.
Yeah. So the idea is that I framed it, the presentation, differently than I did the first one. The first one was really just a very specific presentation of the nature of the study we did in the Adrian Project, and this one is actually going to be more along the lines, okay, now that we're seeing so many of these performance management systems that are out there, whether it's Zephyr, whether it's Catapult, or this another one, GPS Sports, you know, what exactly can they do for you? And so I'm going to present relatively superficial overview of actually what information you're collecting with these systems. And then, you know, because a lot of people don't even know, you know, like, okay, you're measuring things with an accelerometer. What does that tell you? And so I'm going to look at, we're going to show some specific examples of some on-ice activities and then kind of connect it to some video, which we didn't have in the last version, I think, because it's very difficult for a lot of people to wrap their head around what we're actually talking about until you connect it to the visual that would come from a video recording of on-ice activity. So we'll show what we're actually collecting and then how that translates to, okay, what can you do with this stuff? You can measure shift lengths. You know, it's kind of you can measure how much time a guy is on the ice. You can measure training loads, you know, and training loads from a strength and conditioning standpoint. If you want to optimize your athlete's performance, you need to manage both the on-ice and off-ice training loads. And so we'll show you, or we'll show people how we're doing it, how we quantify training loads for on-ice and how we quantify training loads in off-ice, and how those things kind of go together to optimize performance. If then the coach is up to the coach to kind of do it the way they want to do it. We'll show some other nifty things about how we can show some tactical considerations, just kind of as a gee whiz thing. But the main thing to me, I think, is right now, because we're seeing this explosion of these performance management systems, and the general feeling I get from everybody I talk to is that we're getting a lot of info. We don't know what the heck we're looking at. Is just to give people a basic understanding of what kind of information you're getting from these systems, and then superficially, how can you apply it to your athletes in general terms, so that people can hopefully get an idea how to use them in practice or get a better understanding when they talk to people that are using them, what they're talking about. And then if people want to get more specific and look at some nitty-gritty, we can do that. Or they can, you know, they can talk to me after the presentation. We can do that.
Cool. Yeah, a couple things. I think really that idea of overlaying the video with what the sensor is collecting, I mean, that takes it from concept to concrete, right? So you see how the sensor is reading the game and how that's going to translate for you. I think that's really cool. And then the other thing is, didn't you say you're picking up like bargain basement Zephyr pieces on or kits on eBay because people because people are getting it and they say sweet and then they don't know how to use it how to interpret it.
Yeah, don't tell people that. I'm getting 90% reduction on Zephyr packages because people buy them and like I got this thing, I don't know what to do with it. And that's the thing is it and that's really why with the Sport Performance Technology Lab we kind of started that approach, is because, you know, we have for the USA project we're working on, I have, gosh, how many people I have working on it? Probably in total, maybe 10 or 12 people working on it. You know, a hockey team like the Adrian College hockey team, they don't have any capacity. So they can buy a system, they don't have any capacity to do the type of things that we're doing. First of all, they don't have the understanding of the data to begin with, and then managing the data is actually a big problem. That's actually one thing I'm going to go into, is like, it's having these systems is the major issue is a data management problem. Is that, you know, first of all, just convincing hockey players to turn on their sensors when they go for a workout, like, yeah, I'm a hockey player. I don't turn on sensors. That's right. I put in my pads and my skates, and I take my stick and we go hit a puck around. So it's convincing athletes to buy in, first of all, that you need to collect good data and not take your sensor off in the middle of a practice or a game and put it on the bench, because it's not collecting anything when that happens. And then also understanding that a lot of times information you're getting is actually bad, that there was something that happened and that information is kind of irrelevant and you can chase your tail. So for people that don't have the background, the capacity, it's very difficult to do all that. I've gotten a couple systems whereby a well-intentioned soccer program out west bought a system, and they had one guy as a strength and conditioning coach, and he got the 30-player system. He said, "Man, I can't manage this," and they wanted to get something from their investment, so they sold it at a big discount. And so I've actually picked up a couple of systems that way. And that's actually because they're expensive. So,
and you have budgets and all that to worry about. So you people that are listening, don't be greedy. Don't get in the way of good research. Yeah, let Dr. McGregor have the eBay Zephyrs.
Don't go and buy up all my bargain basement systems out there. So there actually aren't that many. I have to honestly, when they come out, I generally nab them up, and then they're not out there very much anymore. So, but the other thing too is that there's differences. The two big players I would say the big player right now is Catapult. Actually, Catapult probably has more penetration in sports in general than Zephyr does, even though Zephyr has been around longer, and especially as an accelerometer company. And so Catapult and GPS Sports, both they started as GPS companies, and in my presentation I'll go into a little bit about the difference in the pluses and minuses of those two approaches, but I'm not going to get into it too much because if people don't have the system, they don't need to worry about it. But so the thing is that the technology has been around for a while. It's just really just starting to explode in the last couple of years. And so when you've got an explosion, people need, I got to do something because all these other people are doing it. But unfortunately, not very many people really have the expertise to understand what they're doing. So, and the bandwidth, the ability, the manpower, because it takes manpower to manage these things. So unfortunately.
All right. Well, we're definitely looking forward to hearing more, about it, and I know I hope to see anybody who's listening. I hope to see you at the Great Lakes Clinic coming up on April 22nd. You'll hear more from Dr. McGregor. If you have any questions, you can ask him directly. I'm sure he'll be more than willing to give you an answer, and it's definitely an answer that will be in depth and very thorough. So, Dr. McGregor, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to hearing your presentation on the 22nd.
Thanks a lot, Brian. We'll see you soon.
All right, that's going to wrap up episode 51 of the Hockey Strength Podcast. Thanks so much to our guest, Stephen McGregor, for joining us. He's definitely helping us make sense of all this data that we're gathering. I know a lot of people are gathering right now, but, you know, really, what are we doing with it? So trying to get ahead of the learning curve here and get ourselves in a position where we are on the front edge using technology to make our players better. Remember, you can check us out on Twitter. And more active on Twitter than Facebook, I would say, but check it out. Check us out on both. On Twitter, we are at @joinus@HSC. And then at Facebook, we're Hockey Strength at Facebook. So we hope to see you on April 22nd for the Great Lakes Hockey Strength and Conditioning Clinic. Just another reminder, just to drill it a little bit deeper, the early bird discount does end at the end of this month, at the end of March. So save yourself some dough and join us early if you know you're coming. GreatLakesHockeyStrength.com is the website. Check it out. You can get registered from there. Enrollment is already going, and we're doing pretty well so far. So I hope you can join us. It's a quick flight. Remember, this is a CEU reporting year for the NSCA. We want to make sure that you get those CEUs in. And this is honestly a relatively cheap way to do it. And so we're getting 0.7 CEUs for one day event here. So hope you can join us. We're excited for the social afterwards. You know, we enjoy talking shop with everybody. So check it out. If you haven't been, this is your year. This is your year to check it out. And I'm sure you'll be back. We get a lot of repeat guests. So with that, until next time, be sure to train smart and check out HockeyStrengthAndConditioning.com, the world's best resource for training hockey players. Thanks, guys, and we'll talk to you real soon.